let's talk about it. So that's the talk.
Because I heard something, someone said he wasn't really swallowed.
Oh, let's see. Okay, so let's see what the Torah says. We're reading it from the book. You have to always go back to the book. If you don't read it from the book, you don't know what's going on. So the book is here. Here's the book. Book of Jonah. Book of Jonah. The book of Jonah is one of the 12 small prophets. There's a book called the Trei Asar, the 12 minor prophets. The reason why they're called minor prophets is because they were minor prophets, but because they didn't say so much, they didn't have so much written down. So they're called minor prophets because the material we have from them is much smaller than normal. And therefore they were lumped together. 12 prophets were lumped together in one book. And that book was called the 12 prophets. So if you're looking for it in the Tanakh, you have to look in the 12 prophets. And Jonah was one of the 12 prophets. He flourished during the reign of the king Yehu. Yehu ben Nimshi, who was appointed by Elisha to get rid of the kingdom of Ahab. Ahab was Ahab and Jezebel. You know the story, right? Ahab and Jezebel, his wife, very evil. And Yehu was appointed by Elisha to get rid of them. And Jonah was the student of Elisha. He was the student of Elisha. And there's a beautiful story. It says Eliyahu Navi was looking for a place to eat and stay. And his widow from a place called Tzarafat, not France, but a place called Tzarafat in Israel. So there was a town called Tzarafat. If you go to Canada, you'll pass it. It's in New York. They have a town of a Tzarafat with a Z. But it's from the Torah story over here of Eliyahu Navi. He stayed in a place called Tzarafat. And this widow took him in. And she gave him food. And she gave him a place to stay. And he was the son of the widow. Jonah was the son of the widow. And he died. And Eliyahu HaNavi revived him. We see the revival of the dead. That both Eliyahu HaNavi did the revival of the dead. And also his student Elisha also revived the dead. Who was the prophet Habakkuk. Both boys became prophets. One was revived by Eliyahu HaNavi. His name was Jonah. We're going to see his story. And the Habakkuk, the prophet, also was revived by Elisha. He stayed in the house of the Shunammite, and he blessed the Shunammite, should have a son, and this boy was born, and then the boy dies, and he's called Habakkuk, because the prophecy was, Shana Abba at Choveket Ben, you will be embracing a child. So the word Chovek is to embrace, so the boy was called Habakkuk, the embraced. So he was, that's Habakkuk. So there's these two boys who were revived from the dead, both became prophets. Jonah and Habakkuk. Anyway, Jonah was revived by Eliyahu Navi. And obviously he got some holiness from Eliyahu Navi. His mother was from the tribe of Asher. His father was from the tribe of Zebulun. And he lived more than 120 years, the Midrash says. Jonah lived more than 120 years, and lived a very long time. So there's a whole discussion. Did all the traditional commentators take this story literally? Story Jonah, literally, this is your question. Is it to be taken literally or not? All the classic commentators take the story literally. Yes, Jonah did live. Yes, Jonah was swallowed by a whale. Yes, Jonah was spit up on dry land. However, the Vilna Gaon, based on the Zohar, he explains it allegorically. Jonah represents the soul, which is sent down to this world to occupy a body, to rectify the world. And if it does not rectify the body, it deteriorates. It is then sent down again in a second reincarnation. Oh. That's how Vilna Gaon explains the story of Jonah. That's what it means to be swallowed by a whale. He went to hell, he was thrown into the sea, and he eventually had a second chance. He was spit out again, and he came back. And this time he fulfilled his mission. That's a deeper allegory of this story. So there's a pshat of the story and there's an allegory of the story. Anyway, let's just go through the outline of the book of Jonah. Number one, God commands Jonah to go to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was the capital of one of the major empires at that time, Assyria. Nineveh was the capital of Assyria. Assyria was a massive empire. And eventually the Assyrians themselves are going to come. And they're going to destroy the northern kingdom of Israel and take away the 10 tribes, the lost tribes. It's called the lost tribes. They were taken away by these same people that Jonah was sent to save. And that's why Yonah did not want to go. Why should I go to the Assyrians and help them do teshuvah when I know they're going to come and destroy us? Why should I do that? Number two is, why should I go to the Assyrians, make them do teshuvah, and the Jews themselves are not doing teshuvah? It looks bad. They're going to do teshuvah, and we're not going to do teshuvah. So it looks bad. Why should I go? So even though God told him to do it, he says, for the sake of the Jewish people, I'm not going to do it. I'd rather die than do this mission. Why should I get the Jews into trouble? I know they're going to come. These Assyrians, these same Assyrians are going to come and going to destroy the northern kingdom. Why should I get involved with them? Why should I save them? Even though God says to save them, as a Jew, I can't. Why? I'm going to cause my own people to have troubles later on. And so that's why Yonah did not want to go. So God commands Yonah, go to Nineveh to prophesy, tell them to do teshuvah. And so Nineveh was a terribly evil city. What do you mean by evil city? It means that human life was very cheap. The rich people would drive their chariots in the middle of the streets, and if they ran over people, they didn't care. Human life was cheap. If you weren't rich and you weren't powerful, a rule of the power, that's it. Power ruled. If you weren't rich and powerful, you were zero. And the slaves, whatever. So it was a terribly, never had no ethics and morals. It was based on power, purely on power. The Assyrian Empire is based on power. So God says, Yonah, go and tell them to do teshuvah. Go tell them you have to have ethics, you have to have morals. And Yonah says, I'm not going there. I don't want to go. Why? I don't want to show that these people do teshuvah and the Jews don't do teshuvah. I'm not going to go and save these people who are coming to come and attack the Jewish people later on. So what does he do? He goes in the opposite direction. God says, go to Nineveh, go east to Nineveh. It's towards Iraq. The northern Iraq was Assyria. The Armenians, the Assyrians, the descendants of the Assyrians, they spoke Aramaic. The Assyrians spoke Aramaic, and eventually the Babylonian Empire adopted Aramaic as well. So Yonah goes the opposite direction. He gets on a ship going to Tarshish, which is a question where it is, but it's in the western Mediterranean. So Hashem says, go east, and here's Yonah the prophet going west. Total opposite. So I'll just give you the brief outlines before we go into the story. The ship, there's a storm at sea. The ship is going to capsize. All the sailors, they're all pagans. They're all praying to their different gods. Can you imagine the scene? The ship is going tossing and turning. All the sailors are screaming to their gods and for help. By the way, the Talmud says, sailors were the most God-fearing people. Why? Because if you see the boats of those days, and you see the conditions, the sailors were praying non-stop. They were praying non-stop. I don't know, they're pagans, whatever, but they were the most pious people. Why? Because they're praying non-stop, because they know their life, they can die any minute. It's a horrible job in those days. Those boats leaked. They were wooden boats, they were leaking boats, and they could easily break up. A little storm, and they could break up very easily. So those boats, you don't want to go in those boats. So the ship came into a storm, and Yonah is sleeping in the bowels of the ship. And the captain tells Yonah, he says, Ben Adam, malecha nerdam, my human being, why are you sleeping? Kum kara, get up and call out to your God. So that's the captain of the ship tells Yonah. And the rabbis, we use that, Sfarim, we use that in our slichot. That's part of our slichot. So why are you sleeping? Get up and call out to God. Yes, 100%, sure, of course. It's in the explicit. It's in the text. The text says, because they're God's creatures. God does not want to destroy his creatures. He cares for all his creatures.
He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah, but they didn't do teshuvah. There was no one to go. Who's going to go? Abraham's praying for them. He prayed for them. Hashem maybe should have told Abraham, go and tell them to do teshuvah. They would have killed him. Hashem knew there's no point in going to tell them, send them a message. They're not going to listen. But here in Nineveh, apparently, they're going to do teshuvah. They did teshuvah. And that's Yonah's question. Why should I go and save Nineveh? Hashem says, listen, they're my creatures. They're my creatures. Not just the human beings, but also the animals. Why should I destroy all my creatures? Hashem has no... And that's why we read at Yom Kippur, Hashem does not want to destroy us. Hashem wants us to repent and do teshuvah and do the right thing. That's what he wants. It's like a good parent. The good parent doesn't want to punish his children. The good parent wants his children to behave. So, Yonah is sleeping in the boat. It's amazing. he runs away from God, and like he has a clear conscience, sleeping, go sleep. I don't care what's going to happen. I don't care consequences. What can God do to me? I don't care. I'm going to die for the sake of the Jewish people. I'm not going to save the Assyrians. Let them rot in hell. I'm not going to save the Assyrians. So what happens is, he's in this boat, and the boat is shaking, and he's sleeping. So the captain goes and wakes up Nineveh, and it wakes up Yonah. And the rabbis say, that's what the Vilna Gaon says, the captain is like the Yetzer HaTov. And the guy is sleeping in the boat. That's our soul. The soul is sleeping in the boat, in the body. And the Yetzer HaTov wakes up the guy and says, soul, wake up! You got to praise God! Go get up and pray! Yonah says, I'm not going to pray. I don't care. Throw me into the sea. I like to die. I want to die. Death is the big escape. And that's what people, that's the biggest mistake people can think. Death is not an escape. It's from the frying pan into the fire. Boy, it's worse. There's no escape from God. That's a famous story. It says, well, the Chabad, the Rebbe, was in jail. The previous Rebbe was in jail in Russia. And because he was teaching Torah. Communists did not allow Jews to teach Torah. And they put a gun to his head, and he wasn't scared. They said, why aren't you scared? He said, because you have one bullet, and I have two lives. You have to remember, the soul lives on, and God is in this world, and God is the next world. That's comforting. If you're trying to run away from God, it's no escape. You can't run away from God. There's a famous story. It says the a pagan in Egypt, in Rome, asked Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva, I'll prove to you from your Torah that my God is stronger than your God. And he says, who's your God? He says, I believe in snakes. The snake is my God. I'll prove to you the snake is more powerful than your God. He says, oh, how? He says, well, when Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to throw a stick on the floor and it turned into a snake, Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, V'yanos Moshe panav. Moshe runs away from it. And yet, when God revealed himself at the burning bush, Moses didn't run away from him. See, he ran away from the snake. He didn't run away from God. So who's more powerful? The snake. And he says, he could run away from the snake, but he can't run away from God. The fact that he could run away from a snake means the snake is not everywhere. But where's he going to run from Hashem? There's no way you can run. You can run, but you can't hide. And that's, Yonah's going to find out the hard way. There's no escape from God. So he says, throw me into the sea. I'm going to die. I want to die. I'll die, and that's it. It's over. Life is over, and that's the end. Hashem says, not so easy. You can die. You want to die? You're not going to die. I'm going to keep you alive against your will. So he swallowed up by the fish, and it's so disgusting in this fish. I tell kids when I teach the story, what's it like to be inside a fish? I mean, I can't even imagine. It's dark. It stinks like heck. And he's inside the bowels of the fish, and he's going to be digested. It's like, I don't know what's going on in the fish. You don't want to get involved with that. And he's forced to pray. He's forced to pray. He doesn't want to pray. He's forced against his will just by where he is. Sometimes a person is forced to pray. It's tragic. You know, there's three different kinds of teshuva. The best teshuva is when you do teshuva on your own willing. You're willing to do teshuva. Some people, they do teshuva because they feel God's stick on the back. I don't want to do tshuva. I don't come near to God. I don't pray to God. And Hashem says, I'll teach you a lesson. Bam! You're going to need me more than anyone else. And we shouldn't wait for that to happen. And that's what happened to Yonah. Yonah tries to run away. There's no escape from God. You can't run. You can try to run. You can't hide. There's nowhere to run. There's nowhere to hide. That's really the moral. There's a few morals in this story of Yonah. We're going to see is, number one is this lesson of teshuva. That's why we read it on Yom Kippur. It's such a powerful story. Unfortunately, a lot of people are not here when we read it because it's in the middle of Mincha and people are trying to get a rest. So, and it's a long story and people don't get it and it's in Hebrew and people don't realize what's going on. So it's tragic, but that's why it's good to read it now. So Yonah literally means a dove. Yonah means a dove. He was God's dove. And it's like Noah used the dove to save the world, basically. The dove was the one who discovered the dry land. Yonah's mission was to save the world, was to save. The prophet's mission is to save people. So they throw Yonah into the sea, and the sea is now quiet. As far as the sailors are concerned, the problem was solved. They didn't want to throw him. We're going to see the story. It's amazing. they did not want to throw an innocent person into the sea. They were it's unusual. They're pagans, but they're ethical. Why should we have to destroy? So what they did is, they did it slowly. First they put their feet in, and the sea kept calm. They took him out, against storm. They put him in a bit further, sea's calm. They pulled him out, they wanted to see if it's really him or not. They didn't want to throw him in just for nothing. And he's telling them, throw me in. You know, it's my fault. It's my fault. All is my fault. I'm running away from God. They say, you're running from it? You're running away from God? You're crazy. It's amazing. They're telling him. He's a Jew. He says, I believe in God. We're going to see his beautiful words. And this is something which we should always say. When they ask him who he is, it's really beautiful. I've got to tell you that. So the captain says, what is your work? Where do you come from? What is your land and from which people are you? And he said to them, I am a Hebrew. I fear the Lord God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. I believe in a God who's in control completely. This is something which we have to announce as Jews. This is what we believe in. So I just want to read it in Hebrew. It's very powerful. I find it very powerful. Ivri Anochi. I am an Ivri, a Hebrew. And we know the word Ivri comes to the word across the river, which Avraham Avinu, they called him a Hebrew. He came from across the river. He came from far across the river. Anochi ve'et Hashem Elokei Hashamayim ani yareh. And I fear the God of heaven, who made the sea and he made the dry land. He made everything. He's the God of creation. I'm the one who fears the God of creation. And when they heard that, they got even more frightened. The satyrs got even more frightened. And they said, what is it you have done? He said, I'm running away from God. He said, you can't run. They're mad. He said, you're mad. How can you run away from God? You just said he created the land and he created the sea. Where are you going to run? He said, I don't care. I'm trying to commit suicide. Throw me into the sea. Pick me up and cast me into the sea. And they didn't want to do it. They started rowing to get to dry land. And it was getting stormier and stormier. And they called out to God. Now it's interesting, they're calling out to the God of Yonah. They all become Jewish. This whole boatload. We're going to see that the Midrash says they all go to Yerushalayim and they all convert to Judaism. Because they see the power of God. So Yonah, without even wanting to do that, he caused the whole ship to do teshuvah. He caused the whole ship to do teshuvah unintentionally. They call out to God and they say, please God, we don't want to perish for the life of this man. And don't put his innocent blood on us. This is wild stuff. They pick him up, cast him into the sea, and that's it. And it says the outcome of the story was the people feared God exceedingly, and they made sacrifices to God, and they made vows. So rabbis say they went to Yerushalayim, they brought their sacrifices, they brought sacrifice to God, and they all became Jewish. A whole boatload of pagans. Okay, now we come to the story of the fish. Okay, let's go through quickly. Okay. So he's thrown overboard. He thinks he's going to die in the sea. Good luck. Sometimes a person tries to die and they can't. Hashem won't let them die. It's amazing. It's wild. It's a wild story. Yeah, people. How many people commit suicide? For every person who's successful, there's four people or three people that are not successful. They end up in hospital with bad injuries or they pump up their stomach and whatever. And it's terrible. It's terrible. Even that needs mazal. To commit suicide needs mazal. Man, it's crazy. Hashem says, you commit suicide. I'm going to let you. I'm going to die. So here he is, he says, I'm going to get away, I'm going to run away, I'm going to die, and that's the end of my story, and I'm going to be the korban for Am Yisrael, because I don't want to save the Assyrians, who will go and attack Israel afterwards. So Hashem appoints a huge fish. It's in the text. Take it literally, don't take it literally. The Vilna Gaon take it literally, but all the commentaries take it literally. And it's a beautiful story for kids. I mean, this is a great story. The fish comes along, the big whale comes along, and he swallows Yonah alive. And he was in the fish for 3 days. 3 days and three nights. And what does a man do in the belly of a fish? That's a question. All right. So it's interesting. So Rashi says, Hashem appointed the fish to swallow him immediately so that he would not drown in the water. Okay, and we said the Midrash, quote the Midrash over here. First they submerged his feet into the sea became calm. When they drew him up, the storm commenced again. And then they threw him in completely to the sea, and the storm stopped. And they all became Jewish, it says, all the commentaries. And they vowed to bring sacrifices. And they came to Yerushalayim. Okay. Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, which is another midrash, says that they were sort of following this whale. They wanted to see what's going to happen to Yonah. So they see the whale swallows Yonah. And they see 3 days later, the whale is spitting Yonah up on dry land. That's when they became Baalei Teshuva. That's when they threw all their idols into the sea. they went to Yafo, which is Tel Aviv Yafo, and they made a pilgrimage to Yerushalayim, and they had themselves circumcised, and they all became Jewish. That's it. This God is so powerful, we can't deal with this. This is, our idols can never do this. They threw the idols into the sea. All right, good. Okay. So now Yonah is in the belly of the fish for 3 days, 3 nights. What is he doing in this belly? He's crying from the belly of this fish. Hashem, save me, Hashem, save me. So he's trying to escape from God, and he finds out you can run, but you can't hide. You can't get away from God. And that's really the message. That one of the messages of Yonah is, number one, is you can't run away. There's no escape from God. You're forced. A person has to come to the realization, I have to deal with my issues. I cannot run away from my issues. So my spiritual issues, I cannot run away. We know this in life, you can't really run. And we see this, Yaakov Avinu really was a classic. Yaakov Avinu was trying to run away. Always, when he got scared, his reaction was to run, right? That's a normal reaction. What's the reactions? When a person is in danger, what do they do? Either fight or run, right? Two reactions, right? What's it called? Fight or flee. Fight or flee, right. Fight or flight. Fight or flight. Exactly. That's where the adrenaline kicks in. Fight or flight. So Yaakov Avinu was used to running away. So now he's getting scared. Esav is coming with 400 men. What do you think Yaakov's going to do? He's going to run. So what happens? The angel catches hold of him. That's a famous fight that night. And the angel makes him lame. He can't run anymore. He says, now that's it. Yaakov, I'm changing your name. You're not going to be a runner anymore. You're going to be a fighter. He changed his name from Yaakov to Israel. Yaakov means a heel. What do you do with a heel? To run. Changes his name to Israel. What does Israel do? Israel, you're going to fight with God and win. You're going to fight and win. You're going to conquer your fears. And that is really an answer. And that's what Yonah has to learn as well. You can't run from God. So he's praying to Hashem in the middle of the fish. Why? You should have done this before instead of getting to the fish. So sometimes we wait till the last minute. We're in our troubles. And then we pray. And it happens to everyone. But some people just try not to pray. And that's the danger. Danger is you're in trouble and you're not praying. Don't provoke God anymore. Never provoke God. A person should never provoke God. So a person's in trouble, pray. And the act of prayer has, even if a person's not answered, Hashem stores those prayers for someone who will need them later on. It's amazing. We have no idea what's going on. It says prayers are never wasted. A person prays, not answered. Maybe someone else will be answered through that power of the prayer. It's amazing. So a person should say, you know what? What's the purpose of praying? No, there's a purpose. We may not see the purpose. We may not see the fruits in this world, but we'll see the fruits in the next world. A person prays. It's a mitzvah to pray. You're getting credit in your celestial bank account. A person's getting it's FDIC insured. It's better than FDIC insured. Your celestial bank account is insured by God. No one can touch that. So he prays. We don't have a record of his prayer. But we do have the record of what he said after that. I called out from my distress to God, and God answered me from the belly of the grave I called out. And that's where the Vilna Gaon gets it from. It's like he died already. He's now in hell. This fish represents hell. He's in hell. Because he says himself, in Beit Sheol, I'm from the stomach of hell. I mean, if you're inside the stomach of a fish, it really is like hell. That's hell. And God heard my voice. Amazing. And you cast me into the deep in the heart of the seas, and the water surrounded me, and your breakers and your waves passed over me. So according to the commentaries, Rashi says there were two fish. The first fish was spacious inside. And Yonah says, I'm comfortable over here. So the fish spits him out, and a female fish is full of babies. swallows him, and there he is totally in hell. That's discomfort. Then he starts praying. But according to the Zohar and others, there it was the same fish. Okay. Because the question is, in the text it says dag, in the male, and then it says daga. It changes it to female. So that's where Rashi got it from. There were two fish involved. Anyway. So anyway, sometimes a person doesn't cry, Hashem says, I'll make it even more uncomfortable for you. Oh boy, that's worse. So here he is, now he's praising God. God, listen to me. And I was thrown out of your presence, Hashem, but now I will come back. I'm going to do teshuvah. I nearly got drowned in the sea. I went out to the bottom of the sea. Apparently, okay, there's a different midrashim over here. And even from the depths of the sea, my cries came in front of you, Hashem. So I will bring you thanksgiving offerings. I've made vows. I'm going to pay back my vows to you, Hashem. Hashem tells the fish, and the fish spits Yonah on the dry land. Okay. Now we come. Now it's interesting. So Yonah's running away from God. God finds him. God stops him. Comes back. He's going to be a good boy now. He says, Hashem, I'm going to give you thanksgiving offerings. But he still didn't say, I'm going to go back to Nineveh. He still did not do his mission. So he gets a second call from Hashem. And God called down him again and says, Kum lech Nineveh ha'ir ha'gdola. Please go to Nineveh and tell them to do teshuvah. So this time now, what do you think he's going to do? I mean, he learned his lesson, so he's not gonna rebel anymore. So straight away, for sure, Yonah gets up, and he goes to Nineveh, just like Hashem said. And Nineveh was a massive city in those days. It took 3 days to walk from one end of Nineveh to the other end of Nineveh. So it's a massive city. So a person could walk, I don't know, how much can a person walk in one day? 10 miles? 30 miles? I don't know. It's a big city. I mean, I can walk through Yerushalayim. You can walk from one end of Yerushalayim in a couple of hours. Imagine, you can walk from one end of Yerushalayim to the other end of Yerushalayim in a couple of hours. So about a 3 day walk, that's a long walk. Big city. How far do you walk, Rose? Manhattan? How many blocks in the whole day?
On a long day, 20 miles.
20 miles. She's not an expert. 20 miles is a 3 day walk, 60 miles across the city. In those days, a massive city, 60 miles across. So now, what's the chances of people doing teshuvah in Nineveh? I don't know. It seems like a very far chance. I mean, it's like you're going to a major metropolis, all pagans. You tell them, "Hey guys, I have a lesson. I have a message from God." You know, you go like going to Manhattan. You go, you see these signs on page. God says, "Do teshuvah. Do teshuvah." Okay. No one cares. But Yonah goes there, and he enters the city. 1 day journey. In other words, the city is 3 days journey across. He goes in 20 miles into the city. And he starts screaming, "In 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. In 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed." And people start gathering around him. I mean, what's the likelihood this is going to happen? People gather around him, and they believed him. They believed God. And they called a fast day. And they took off their fine clothes, they wore sackcloth. And the word came to the king, there's this prophet telling us that Nineveh is going to be destroyed in 40 days. He gets up from his throne, he takes off his fine clothes, the king. And he sits on the ground, doing teshuvah. What do you find? Hey, I think this is the most wondrous part of the whole story. And that's really why we read in Yom Kippur and say, listen, if these pagans, look, the whole boatload of pagans became Baal Teshuvah. Now these pagans are doing teshuvah in Nineveh. We have to learn a lesson. I mean, Jews are tough. We're not so as easy as the pagans. It's interesting. The pagans will do teshuvah more than... This is wild. This is wild stuff. Here the Jews in Israel are not doing teshuvah, and the pagans in Nineveh are doing teshuvah. And that's why Yonah didn't want to go. He didn't want to accuse the Jewish people of being tough. And what happened? The king passes a decree. No one is allowed to eat anything. No one's allowed to drink anything. And everyone should wear rough clothes, not fine clothes. And everyone should repent from the evil ways. This is the king's decree now. So there's a famous midrash over here, which is very hard to understand. The midrash says this king was Pharaoh. And Pharaoh already learned his lesson. He doesn't want to tangle with God. He already learned his lesson. He hears the prophet coming with a reputation from God. That's it. So that's the... Anyway, so different ways of learning this. The question is, why did this king... That's really the main question. The main question is, why did this king all of a sudden do teshuva? This is very unusual. And the whole heat makes the whole city do teshuva. Anyway, so that's the question. Okay. And so we're all going to repent. And God will relent. And God will not destroy the city. And that's what happened. Hashem saw their deeds. They had repented. And Hashem did not destroy the city. So beautiful ending. As far as Nineveh is concerned, it's a beautiful ending. But Yonah is now very unhappy with Hashem. Look, you sent me on a wild goose chase. You told me to tell them the city is going to be destroyed in 40 days. And I know you're very merciful, and that's it. And you did not destroy them. So he's very upset. Yonah was very, very upset. And he prays to God, and he says, I knew you're going to do this. I knew. And that's the reason why I ran away. I knew, that because you're merciful. This is a very strange kind of statement from a prophet, that a prophet should be happy. You know, people listen to him. How often does people listen to the prophet? He says, God, please kill me. I want to die. I would rather have be a dead than alive. Now, this you never say this. Suppose you should never say this to God. Because the truth is, only God knows what's good for us. We have no idea what's good for us. God is our healer. He's our doctor. He knows what's good for us. I'd rather die, he says, than live. So, and Hashem says, yeah, okay, let's see. So Yonah goes, leaves the city, and he dwells outside the city, and over there he builds a little sukkah to get some shade. It's very, very hot. And he wants to see what's going to happen to the city. So what happens? Hashem sprouts forth this tree. It's called a kikayon. And for those who know what kikayon is, depends on the debate. Some people say it's castor oil. It's a castor oil tree. It's a castor tree. Kikayon was a castor tree of castor nuts. And it has very big leaves. And it sheltered Yonah. And Yonah is very happy now in the tree. He has shade now. And he looks at the tree and he's so happy. This tree was a miracle. It grew very fast. Vayismach Yonah la kikayon. He was very, very overjoyed with this tree. So it's very strange. Here we are. It grew with many branches, and so some people say it's castor oil, castor tree. It grows among the swamps, and they raise it over the entrances of stores for shade. And from its kernels, they make milk. Okay, so that's one opinion. All right. So he needed this shade from this tree because the wood in his hut had dried out. And he wasn't getting shade from his little sukkah anymore. Plus, some people say because he was in the belly of the fish for a period of time and his skin became very tender, he couldn't tolerate the heat of the sun. Ibn Ezra says when he was cast into the sea, all his hair fell out because of the salt water. And then when the sun shone on him, he fainted. So he needed the shade. He couldn't tolerate the heat. So he was overjoyed with the kikayon. So the commentaries say, what do you mean he was overjoyed with the kikayon? He said, just like God made a tree to spare me and shade me, Hashem will shade the Jewish people. That's really what he's happy about. That makes sense. He's not happy by himself. He's worried about the Jewish people. What are the Syrians going to do to the Jews? So just like God accepted his prayer to save him, God will accept his prayer to save the Jewish people. But Hashem says, not yet. Not so soon. So Hashem makes a worm to go and kill the tree. This is the part that he has to teach the prophet a lesson. You can't do what you want and get away with it. You can't just keep running around. This is something which we learn in life. You can run, you can't hide, you can't just get away with it all the time. And the worm kills the tree, which Yonah was so happy about. And the tree dries up, and the sun is now shining, and there's a very, very hot wind. And Yonah fainted again, and he begged to die again. Again, he didn't learn his lesson. So again, things are bad, but please, God, kill me. No, can't say that. Not allowed to say that. Suicide is not an option. Suicide is not an option in this world. However, there are exceptions that we find with King Saul. If a person is being tortured or being forced to transgress the three capital sins, then it becomes an option. Otherwise, it's not an option. And now God is giving him Musar. Yomer Elokim El Yonah. You're so upset about this tree, which you loved, but you didn't care about the city. You didn't even work on the tree. You didn't even plant the tree. And you're so happy with the tree, and you're so sad with the tree. I won't have mercy on this big city, which has 120,000 people, and many animals as well. So that's the bottom line. The bottom line is God's mercy is something which we cannot fathom. And that's how we end up the story. Is here's Yonah worried about his tree. Right? We worry about little puny little things, right? Just in Israel today, there was a terrorist attack and two people were killed. So we're worried about little issues. But we mustn't lose track of the bigger picture. There's a bigger picture out there. There's a lot of lives at stake. And we have to pray hard, not just for ourselves, but pray for the whole world, basically. That's our mission. We have to save the world. So we have a mission to pray that the world will be a more secure. It's not. Unfortunately, it's not becoming a more secure place. It's becoming a less secure place. It's tragic. I want to tell you that a lot of shuls in town got grants from the government, Homeland Security. So people say, they're very happy. We've got a grant from the government. We're going to put security cameras. We're going to put this and that and the other to make it more secure, right? It's good, right? No, it's bad. Why is it bad? Because if the government is paying for this, the government knows that they're targets now. That means every synagogue in town is a target. That's very bad news. It was the fact that the government wants to pay. It doesn't make sense. The government wants to pay to harden these targets. They know something we don't know. They know that really these things are targets. So that's bad news. It's not good news. So some people are very happy. Oh, we got a grant. That's great, right? No, it's not good. We should never need these kind of grants. We should never. The world is becoming a more dangerous place. And that's how we're going to change that. I don't know. Don't trust any politicians. I know. I don't know what's going to happen. I already don't know. So today we need to pray even more than before. But let's try and examine the lessons of Yonah. What are we saying? Let's go through the lessons of Yonah. Number one is you cannot run away from God. Because you've got to meet God head on. And that's what we do with Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is our meeting with God. And we're pleading with God. And we want to live. We don't say, kill us, Hashem. That's not an option. We say, Zochein l'chayim, please remember us for life. Because you, God, want life. God wants life more than we want life. God wants us to live so we can do more good. And that's what we have. That's how we have to argue with God. God, I want to do your mission. I want to do my mission in life. I want to fix myself in this world. I want to fix the world. I want to help you. So a person comes along with a plan and says, Hashem, I want to be part of your plan. Hashem says, okay, you got it. You're on my side, I'm on your side. Let's go. And that's the trick of survival, of getting God's blessing. We find the forefathers and the mothers were blessed tremendously by God. Miracles happened for them. Miracles. Why? Because they were doing God's work in the world. So they're doing God's work in the world. They're spreading the name of God in the world. God says, you're spreading my name in the world, I'm going to bless you tremendously. Even though you can't have children, I'm going to give you children. Amazing. Miracles. Totally against nature. It says he took Abraham achutza. He took Abraham outside. What do you mean, took him outside? So rabbis say, took him outside from his mazal. He took him outside from his astrology. Abraham is not going to have children. He changed his name. Abraham is going to have children. As we get the concept of changing one's name to change one's mazal. A person can change their name, change mazal. The Rambam says, laws of teshuva, changing a name is not good enough. A person has to change who they are as well. Not just changing the name, but also changing who they are. And a person's going to be a better person. And this way the name change will help. So that's number one, is we can't run away. Number two, what else? That even though Yonah's running away from God, he didn't deny that God is his God. Really interesting. He's running away. He's not going to listen. I don't listen to God, but I still know that he's a God. I can't deny he's God. And that's what he says. I'm a Jew. I believe in a God who created the world, the heaven and the earth. I believe that. I can't deny that. He doesn't deny God. So even though he's to the point where he's rebelling, he's not denying. There's a big difference between the two, because the person denies God, it's much worse. Much worse. And that's what Elie Wiesel says. You can argue with God, you can't deny God. So even though you don't agree with what he did, I can argue with God. It's not such a great idea either. I don't find that a great deal, because see, you're not going to win the argument. No one's going to win an argument with God. You can't argue with God. I can argue with God. And you're not trying to argue with God. And God says, you're not going to win an argument. I'm going to take you from the depths of the sea and this fish. You're not going to get away with it. But we see Yonah's greatness was, he never denied who he was. He tells the pagans, Ivri Anochi, I am a Jew. And that's a Jew always going to say, I'm a Jew. And I fear God. And that's what Yosef does in Egypt. Everyone knows he's the Ivri, he's the Jew. And when the butler remembers Yosef to Pharaoh, he uses very derogatory language. When I was in jail, Pharaoh, don't get angry, I was in jail, there was a Hebrew who's a slave. He calls him all sorts of derogatory names, but he knows he's a Hebrew. Everyone knows he's a Hebrew. Whereas it says Moshe Rabbeinu never got buried in Israel because when the daughters of Yitro saw him, they tell their father, Ish Mitzri Hitzilanu. There was an Egyptian man who saved us. Moshe did not reveal that he was an Ivri. That's Midrash says that's one of the reasons why he wasn't buried in Israel. He wasn't worthy of you. So a person's got to be proud of who they are. I'm a Jew. I'm a Hebrew. Obviously today it's getting tougher in some places to say I'm a Jew, announcing yourself as a Jew. But we see his impact also. This is very important. This is the third idea. So number one is you can't run away. Number two is remember who you are. You can argue with God, but you can't deny God. And number three is remember who you are. Number four, look at the impact he had on other people. The whole boat of people are changing. He changed the whole boat. It's amazing. And he didn't intend to change the whole boat. Just by telling his story, he said, wow, this amazing story. If we tell our story as Jews, 3,300 years of history, with all the destructions and the calamities, and we're still around. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. And with all the big empires that came and went, that's a famous saying of Mark Twain, right? Mark Twain wrote an amazing article. He says, he talks about the big empires. He says, the Egyptians came and they went, and the Babylonians came and they went, the Assyrians came and they went, and the Greeks came and they went, the Romans came and they went, and the Jews are still here. What's the secret of their survival? And not only they're here, he says, they're vital. They're running around. They're still doing things. You look at the Forbes list of rich people. I mean, it's amazing to see how many Jews are there. And the anti-Semites can't believe their eyes. Their eyes popping. You see the Nobel Prize winners. I mean, Jews, 27%. It's a miracle. It really is a miracle. It's not something normal. 0.01% of the world population has not been heard of. There's a small island called Madagascar. And they have the same amount of people as Israel. And no one's ever heard of them. No one should be hearing it. We shouldn't have heard about Jews. What are Jews in the news all the time? Israel. Nothing else to talk about. They're going to discuss Israel in the Security Council this Friday. In Syria, they can't do anything. But Israel. So Syria, 250 million people died. 250,000 people died. Or more. I don't know how many. And the Russians vetoed the resolution. The French vetoed this. But Israel is the main, Israel's the main problem. Let's all agree on Israel, at least. We can't agree in Syria, we can agree in Israel. Israel's the scapegoat for the world. And God's laughing. Say, okay, fight with Israel, let's see what happens. Let's see what happens now. Okay, so you can run, but you can't hide. We talked about a person's got to be a proud Jew. He converted all the people on the boat, but just by saying his story, just by saying our story, people are impressed by the story. We have to spread the story. And then, even in the most difficult situation, he's swallowed by the fish. What does he do in the fish? He prays. He's forced to pray. A person has to know this is the refuge. David HaMelech calls it Me'arat HaTfila, the cave of prayer. What happened? The story is that David HaMelech is hiding in a cave, and Shaul HaMelech, King Saul, is trying to find him because he called him a treasonous. And he's hunting him in the cave. The name of the cave, David HaMelech calls it the cave of prayer. Imagine, your enemy is outside hunting you, and you're hearing them outside the cave. And you're in the cave hiding. Okay, it's not really a hideout. Anyone can come in and find him any minute. It changes the cave into a cave of prayer. This cave becomes a cave of prayer. The fish became the fish of prayer. He changed the fish into his shul. They asked John McCain, what do you do in a Vietnamese jail? He said, a man does a lot of praying in a Vietnamese jail. There's nothing you can do. You have to pray. And it's amazing he made it out. It's amazing he made it out. The prayers helped. prayers help. We have to understand prayers help. Because of praise, praise, praise. There's no running away from God. You can't commit suicide. Suicide is forbidden. See, story over here, suicide. And then, finally, a person is forced. It's forced to do the will of God anyway. Jonah is forced to do the will of God. He didn't want to go to Nineveh. And then he's forced to go to Nineveh. So why, there's a lesson over here, is why go through this hard process of learning when you could just do it in the first place? He should just listen to God. He wouldn't have to be thrown into the sea. He wouldn't have to be thrown into the fish. So sometimes a person doesn't do what they're meant to do, and then they go through this whole long rigmarole to get, and Hashem eventually brings them back to the same place. So why go through that horrible, lengthy path instead of just going straight to the destination? And we see this also in the desert, right? The Jews, 40 years, they have to wander around. They could have just gone into Israel the first year. It's so tragic. Second year, they could have gone into Israel already. No, we'll send the spies, and we'll make this, and we don't want to go to Israel, we want to go to Egypt. They caused their own problems, the whole generation to die out. So that's something which, a lesson for Yom Kippur. Why bother with this rigmarole? Just get to the point. Do the teshuva, listen to God, and straighten our ways, and everything will go well. Bezrat Hashem, we'll all have a good year, and pray hard for safety and security in Israel around the world. Bezrat Hashem, all the sick people should be healed. And refuah shlema for Rachel Chaya, Rivka Hashem, refuah shlema, Bezrat Hashem, amen, and so on.